Welcome into St. Luke's worship on St. Francis Sunday. If you are able and so moved, we'll be blessing animals and selling Amy's homemade tamales while they last to benefit Temenos out at Temenos, where Road 22 meets Road 94B across from the Flyers Club. We would love to have you join us at this COVID-safe event. Masks are required. We'll have a drive-through set up, so you won't need to get out of your car to get a pet blessing and or to purchase tamales unless you want to walk the property and see what it's all about. Our weekly worship service is, as usual, a variation on morning prayer with Eucharistic readings, and like everything at St. Luke's, it's a shared ministry. Lots of people working together make this service possible. No matter where or when you're listening to our St. Francis worship, we are so glad you're with us in spirit today.
Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from Exodus. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you, so that you do not sin."
The word of the God, thanks be to God.
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another, although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard. Their sound has gone out into all the lands, and their message to the ends of the world. In the deep he has set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the utmost edge of the heavens, and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold. Sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping with them there is great reward. Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound, and innocent of great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Well, that's a violent and deeply disturbing parable for St. Francis Sunday. When I think about St. Francis, I imagine the kind and gentle saint of the birdbath, providing a place of refuge to God's tiniest and most vulnerable creatures. But that's a kind of one-sided impression of creation, because creation is just as full of terror as beauty. There are asteroids and volcanoes and predators and firestorms. Chaos, really. Creation is God bringing forth order out of chaos. God doesn't create by destroying chaos. God brings order out of chaos, and it takes a while. 7 days in the book of Genesis, 40 years in the book of Exodus, as the people are traveling from slavery in Egypt to the promised land. Along that way, God begins to create order out of their chaos by entering into covenant with the Israelites. And that covenant, that whole thing, the relationship between the Israelites and God, is grounded in what we call the Ten Commandments. They are the who, what, and why of the covenant with God. It's like the executive summary. It's the mission statement. It's the part that's easy to remember. It's the preamble, like the preamble to the Constitution. We can easily remember and hang on to, we the people, union, justice, tranquility, and blessings, even if we can't memorize the whole Constitution. So in the same way that the people had a covenant that was so big no one of them could contain it, they also had this little preamble of the Ten Commandments, these spiritual practices to live into that helped them to begin to embody God's own nature, which was given to them in the covenant. They began to embody God's own nature and to live into this priesthood that God called them to. To understand and to practice it as a way of service to all peoples everywhere, not just to themselves. Because God's vocation to them, God's covenant with them, wasn't a status. It was a sacred obligation to put God ahead of everything else, including the part of God that is in all their neighbors. It helps me to remember all of that when I have been, as I have been lately, consuming way too much news. And the news is as violent and deeply disturbing as the parable Jesus told about the wicked tenants in the vineyard. Too much of this watching humankind call forth chaos is spiritually dangerous. It has all the toxic potential to call forth chaos in me. When Jesus tells this horrific parable in the last days of his earthly life, he is inside the temple where the Ten Commandments were kept, where he ought to find sanctuary. Instead, God incarnate is harshly questioned by the temple authorities, and they themselves are deeply fearful because they serve a people who've gotten stuck again in another violent domination system. This time the despot is Caesar instead of Pharaoh or the parable's mob of wicked vineyard tenants, but the spiral of violence is the same. The domination, the murder, the coveting, the dishonesty, the idolatry, it's everything the Ten Commandments warned against. And despite all of Jesus' warnings in the parables, it will wind up leading to the chaos of Jesus' arrest and execution. But God draws order out of even that chaos. Jesus is resurrected and ascends in union with God. It was powerful and peaceful and loving and communal by all accounts, and not everyone perceived it. A lot of people were really disappointed that Jesus didn't bring forth the hellfire and brimstone reckoning that they had in mind for their oppressors. Tenants, like the ones in the parable who have come to serve domination power, come to think that's how God is too. They create God in their own image, expecting that God will, as the parable says, put those wretches to a miserable death. But actually, in Jesus' parable, the ones who represent the Lord are slaves. Treasured by God throughout Scripture, the rejected and vulnerable and least powerful ones are the ones who are chosen to transform the world, not the ones who are most popular and most powerful. Look around you for the one who has no power, because that is the one who is being called by God to transform the world. Christ didn't cling to the power of his divinity. He broke it into a million pieces of God's own self and shares it with everyone who accepts the sacred obligation to serve everyone, everywhere. The way of God in Christ is the way of giving away power to the rejected and the outcast, who will give it away again, and in the process, change the world, bring order out of chaos, bring love out of hatred. Before this parable of murderous vineyard tenants and the new tenants who will come after them and bear good fruit in that vineyard, Jesus warned the temple authorities that the ones they'd been judging, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, would be the ones who came before them into heaven. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. The fruit in that vineyard, the one that is amazing in our eyes, is the love and the liberation and the peace that passes all understanding. And that can never be seized. It can never be taken by force. It can only be revealed and given and embodied by us. It is never more important than it is right now to take care about exactly what we choose to embody. I hear more and more from people who are racked with foreboding about what they are seeing in current events around them. And lately, even some schadenfreude. And with the habits born of a quarter century of reporting the news, I am the worst of the doom scrollers. But on this weekend of the feast day of St. Francis, who became the patron of the poor and the powerless and found peace in giving up the power and wealth and status that he was born with so that he could live in solidarity with the outcast, let us also remember that it is our vocation as the body of Christ to incarnate and embody the divine within us and within our neighbors. I give thanks for Richard Rohr, the Franciscan priest and author, for a message of spiritual guidance that he offered last week, reminding us all of the need to tend to our own deep well of God within. His reminder was that our spiritual practices are our power right now. What other power do we have? He asks. Make no mistake, schadenfreude, that sense of delight that we might take in what we perceive as the well-deserved suffering of another, that is a spiritual practice. Just like doom scrolling is a spiritual practice, they're both harmful spiritual practices. As Richard Rohr says, divine truth is found in a bigger place. So now is the time for us to inhabit that bigger place, for us to double down on our sacred spiritual practices, for us to take care of that deep well of God that is within us, serve our outcast neighbors, study scripture, read the mystics, enter into stillness and silence, prayer and contemplation. Paraphrasing Rohr here, contemplation safeguards that little piece of God in each of us, protects our access to the deep source of love within. The rest just tears us apart and can become our prison, can become who we are. It's in our vulnerability and our powerlessness that we become God's treasured agents of transformation. So let's guard our souls now against the hateful and hurtful words and images that would distance us from that deep well of God's love, that would undermine our capacity to share that love with our neighbors, no matter who wins races or takes offices. Let us stand like St. Francis in solidarity with the rejected and the vulnerable and the powerless who embody resurrection grace. The way of resurrection is a way of love. A better world will not be built out of our darkest shadows. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, hear our prayer. Let us pray for God's people across the world. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the earth that we may hear to your gently. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our families, our friends, and our neighbors. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who are scared, or sad, or scared, or are suffering. God of love,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died. God of love,
hear our prayer. We remember especially this week Shirley and Marilyn, and we pray for the repose of their souls. We pray for John and Cass. Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and what we have asked faithfully, grant that we may obtain effectually, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.